Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So good to see all of you. If you will quickly come on in and grab a seat, we're about to get started. In a minute, Tony is going to come up and help me with the Trinity liturgy. Where is Tony? Tony. Tony, if you'll come on up. As he's coming up, let me just share a few announcements with you. First is Sunlight Christmas Bazaar is going to be held. It's being held now in the atrium. If you want to go over after service, there are a lot of great gifts and chili and good eats, etc. You can buy a gift for your loved one, etc., and support a good cause. And also today at 2 p.m. is going to be our Moments of Joy service in the atrium. And we also have in the back the Anna Moses Band tickets still available. Susan, if you'll just raise your hand. If you'd like to purchase, or Kelly, if you'd like to purchase tickets to see them, we would love to have you to support that. The concert is going to be tomorrow at 7 p.m. right here in the Worship Center. And last but not least, if you will please mark your calendars on December the 9th. December the 9th, we're going to have a church-wide Christmas party sponsored by Alpha. You can come to the skate station free of charge and ride the go-karts and batting cage and, you know, putt-putt golf, et cetera, you name it, you can do it. It's just a great, fun event for the entire family, so we would love to see you there. All right, Tony, are you ready now? All right, Tony is going to lead us in our Trinity liturgy this morning.
Welcome home. Why are we here?
All right, please prepare your hearts and your minds as we worship God together. Also, give Tony a hand clap of praise for doing an outstanding job this morning. Thank you. Thank you.
With us, please.
Come on up.
For our kids. Outstanding. All right. I want to just get some help from the sound booth. Can you dim the lights quickly now? Can you just dim the house lights? Can you all turn around and look at what are those tall things standing up back there that have ornaments on them? And what is that? Christmas trees. And what do you see on those beautiful Christmas trees? Ornaments, okay. You see the star. What else did you see? You see a bow. Signs of God. Beautiful. What else do you see?
Lights.
Lights. Lights. That's what I'm getting at. Now look around the worship center. How many candles do you see? You see three? Look on this side too. You see the Ten Commandments up there? We see four candles. We see the peace candle, the joy candle, the hope candle, and the love candle. And the candles represent what? Light. Light. I remember when I was a small kid and my sisters locked me in the closet. I have three older sisters. And I was so afraid I started crying and crying. Mom had to come unlock the door. And I was so relieved because I finally could see some daylight. And the Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. So we don't ever have to be afraid. We can have joy, peace, hope, and love because Jesus Christ, He's the light of the world and He lives in our hearts. That's the good news for today. And that's our lesson for this morning. Will you bow and have a brief prayer with me now? Gracious God, we thank You because of Your light in the world. We thank You for how Your light is just represents Your love and Your hope and Your joy and Your peace. And we don't ever have to be afraid because of Your light that lives in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we thank You for this kids, for all of our kids, and we thank You for this special moment together. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So remember, Jesus is the light of the world. Can you give our kids a wonderful hand for sitting so attentively and being so well behaved? Thank you. If you will stand now and come with me.
Would you stand as we sing our opening hymns together?
Oh,
Turn and give your attention now to Caitlin Thomas, our liturgical dancer, who will come at this time to light the Advent wreath. Will you stand now for our affirmation of hope? We believe in God the Father Almighty, the source of all hope. We believe in Jesus Christ, the true hope of all the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the indwelling presence of hope. On this first Sunday in Advent, we light the candle of hope.
For the one who we adore is indeed the hope of the world.
Some names will appear on the screens in just a second or two, and there may be some additional names that we're unaware of. Feel free to give us a call, email us or give us a call so that we can add names to the screens next week. And there may be some situations that we're unaware of. If you'll just get those persons on your hearts and minds, and together let's grab the hand of our neighbor and go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we come to you this morning on this first Sunday of Advent. Advent representing the fourth coming of Jesus Christ into the world. And as Caitlin Thomas was dancing and bringing in the light, it represented you all over again coming to us, coming into a dim and a dark world. And God, we do thank you for being the light of the world and the light that lives in our hearts. God, John teaches us that you put on human flesh and you made your dwelling amongst us. And God, we just invite you this morning to continue to dwell in our hearts, continue to dwell in our minds, dwell in our families, dwell in our ministries, dwell in all that we say and all that we do. And God, because of your dwelling, God, we pray that you will draw men unto you. Your word tells us, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so, God, help us to continue to lift you up. And so, God, we thank you this morning for this great church. We thank you for the families and the ministries that make up this church. And God, we do remember those who are sick and ill and who are lying in hospitals. We do remember those who are grieving the death of loved ones. We ask, oh God, that you'll just wrap your loving arms around those families and be with them. Be a very present help in a time of need, oh Lord. And grant them, oh God, the comfort that you can only provide. God, we thank you for Dan Johnson this morning. We ask that you'll anoint him afresh and anew. Give him, oh Lord, an extra portion of your strength, your power, oh God, that he may preach and minister like never before. And now, oh God, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, we pray it now together on one accord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever we pray. Amen. Amen. Will you, friends, at this time prepare your hearts and your minds for our Advent conspiracy video?
Love that video, and it sort of lushes us into Advent. This year, the mission box for Advent is going to go to twofold, the Madison Youth Ranch, another children's home up in Madison, Florida, and the continuing work we're doing in Malawi. The new Advent devotionals for 2012, Promises Fulfilled, are completed. You all, so many of you have written, and we're really grateful. I love this every year. Copies of this are over at the Information Center. We invite you to take one. They're also online for my daily scripture email. That's what they'll be. So either way is better for you. We invite you to do that. Also, are grateful for all who decorated the church. And that tree over there is being decorated by you and others. And there are little doves over there. You can write a prayer request or a praise or joy, however you like, and put it on the tree. I think those are announcements. Invite you after service to go to the atrium. The Sunlight is having their bazaar. You can get lunch there. There's chili, soup, baked goods. We encourage you to support Sunlight. And the Annie Moses Band this Wednesday night. Hope you can come. We'd love for all of you to be here. Now would you stand and turn to somebody you didn't come to church with and say, I don't know, whatever you want. Happy Advent. Whatever you want. With me, would you? God, we're so grateful for this season of the year when all the world sings your praises, whether they know it or not or even believe it, but the carols are so omnipresent, and we pray that the words might sink into hearts in this season. Thank you for this opportunity to give, and we're grateful for your generosity to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord,
Thank you, Chancellor Choir. I'm so looking forward to the cantata next Sunday and then the following Wednesday night, and you can purchase tickets for the dinner for that. I think they're in the back as well. Thanks for all you bring to the worship service. Today, I'm really excited about today's sermon because, for me, it puts it all together. My experience has been that we take bits and pieces of this hope and this anticipation and the promises of God in the Scriptures. But today, I want to pull it all together, if we may. It's a teaching sermon, so I invite you to sit up straight and think really hard with me as we work through this together. One of the passages, you know, there are several of these wonderful passages in Isaiah about Emmanuel, chapter 7, chapter 9, we're going to read now. Chapter 11 is the wolf lying down with the lamb and that sort of thing. All these are what we call messianic passages looking to the future. But as I say, often we get bits and pieces. Today I want to sort of try to wrap the whole story together at one time. So invite your prayers for that. This is Isaiah 9, verse 2 and following. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And it'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. May God add his blessing to this reading of God's Word. As you can tell, I mean, some of you can notice that I look a little different today, right? I did have cataract surgery this past Monday, and I'm here to tell you, it's really what everybody says. It's really kind of a cool deal. Piece of cake. Went in at 6:30, 6:45, was out at 9:30. Most of that time was prep and recovery. You do a little anesthesia, you're sort of somewhat under. I felt the pressure right here on this around my eye, and I saw some lights, and then I was walking out. Jan drove me home, relaxed, read, went to a meeting at church that night. Isn't that amazing? And here's what they do, and I try not to gross you out on this, but here's what they do, because this is relatively new. I mean, it's not laser. Mine was cataract surgery, the beginning of the clouding, and they put a little hole incision in your eye. And they go in and somehow emulsify the old lens and then suck it out. And then they have a wrapped up lens that they put back into that little incision. And then it opens up so you have a nice new lens that allows me now to see distances very clearly. In fact, I'm amazed how wonderful most of you look. It's an amazing thing, and here's the astounding thing is that it's all kind of happened in the last 40 years. Now, when you Google cataract surgery, the history of, you'll see that it took place 1,000 years before Christ. You may not have wanted it back then, because what they show these instruments, and what they did, they sort of shoved the lens out of the way that was cataract, that was clouded over. And lots of eyes got affected. Lots of times it was not successful. I mean, and so then you had this sort of rudimentary sort of thing for 3,000 years. And then in 1700s, they did a little advancement. But if you read about it, they say the surgeon needs an additional person to hold the subject down. Not what you want to anticipate when you're going to have this sort of thing. And then in anesthesia came in 1840s, I think. And then 1967-ish, they began this lens implant, which is what I had. Take a lens out, put a lens in. And many of you have had it. It's a wonderful thing. Now, here's the thing that struck me. I thought, wow, what a wonderful time to be alive. If I'd been living 60 years ago, I would not have been able to have had this successful kind of surgery. but I live for me. It's what Paul talks about, the fullness of time. In Galatians, he said, in the fullness of time, God brought forth Jesus the Christ. Now, what did he mean? For the people of Israel, the people of the world, the fullness of time was when the hopes and joys and aspirations came to being. And so I just was sort of had this sense of overwhelming appreciation. Now, looking back on what could have been in an earlier time, and if I lived in that earlier time, I would have been just like the people of Israel, anticipating, looking for, hoping for, longing for, O come, Emmanuel. O come, the kind of surgery that I can now see. Do you follow what I'm trying to, the analogy? One of our grandsons plays football, and he's on the same team that Tyler's Hope, the Tyler. Many of you have been supporters of that. Young Tyler, I guess I don't know his last name, but his brother is on that team. I would meet the father at football practice or games, and he's been very involved in raising the money to find a cure to this dystonia that his son has. And it's brought the attention of the country into Gainesville because of all of that, really positive stuff. The team of Foot and Occam and others have become a major player in finding a cure. And when I talk to Tyler's father, he says it's not if there'll be a cure, but when there'll be a cure. He's standing on tiptoe of hope, just like the people 100 years ago with polio. I was talking to Doc Bingham. He said as a child, people were living in fear about polio. It would affect your loved ones and they would die. And now, thanks to the work of Rotary, of which some of you are involved, and others, there are only 3 countries in the world now where polio is still a vibrant sort of thing. But do you see what I'm saying? If you were living in that time, you were looking for the opportunity, your hope would be there. And that's how Israel was about. That's what this song is about. That's what these scriptures are about. Now, what I want to do today is take that sense of hope, that sense of promise. That's why our cantata is the journey of promises. The devotional is promises fulfilled. I want to take some of those Old Testament promises and bring them all together around this person that you and I adore and love and give our lives to, even Jesus the Christ. And I want you to think of 3 key players in the Old Testament: prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, priest, and king. Stay with me now. Prophet, priest, and king. Oh, hey, good. I said stay with me, but you said say it with me. And at any rate, I have my eyes worked on, not my tongue. In Deuteronomy, I said last Sunday, if there were a Mount Rushmore in Israel, David would be on it. But the bigger person who'd be on there would be Moses. Moses was the colossal figure in Israel. Colossal. Without Moses, there wouldn't be an Israel. Without Moses, there wouldn't have been freedom out of slavery. So Moses was this major person who not only delivered them out of Egypt, but also gave them the law. God gave them through Moses and set up the whole sense of tabernacle. And in Moses' final speech, his final sermon, as it were, the whole book of Deuteronomy, 34 chapters, this is Moses' farewell speech. In chapter 18, he says, one day God will bring a prophet like me. One day God will bring a prophet like me. A prophet is one who speaks the word of God. Imagine not knowing what God wants you to do. A prophet speaks the word of God. And that's who, so a prophet will come like Moses. And so they had this anticipation that, wow, someday God would bring this prophet. Now there were images of this in Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Amos. But there came a time when the prophetic voice was dead. The end of the Old Testament. Silence. Will there be a prophet? Will there be another prophet? How will that person look? What will that be like? God promised there'll be a prophet. And so they began these expectations about a prophet. And you remember when Jesus said to his disciples there at Caesarea Philippi, there in the northern part of Israel, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're the prophet. This one who would be the spokesperson of God, so God would give us a word from God. It was such a huge thing. That's prophet. Hold that one. Priest. One of the great figures in the Hebrew tradition is the priest. And one of the reasons I'm wearing this robe today is I wanted to highlight the priestly role. The priestly role we don't make a big deal of because we're not Roman Catholics and we've rejected too much of the good of the Roman Catholicism. The priest, though, is the one who connects God with people. We wear a robe because the person is insignificant. It should cover up the person. We're a bridge from God, the cross, to the people. And that's what the priest did. And had that role throughout the history of Israel, but particularly in the temple, particularly on Yom Kippur, on that day when there'd be the great sacrifice, and they lay the sins of the whole people on this goat and send it out, and that would be the Holy of Holies when the priest would come into that sacred place and would unite God and humanity, which is the deepest longing of all of our hearts, to be connected with our Creator, our Maker. And it was possible in that system. We don't follow that. We don't understand that a lot today, but I'm trying to remind you of that. In the priest, now, part of the problem was the priests throughout the history of Israel were fallen people, and that was a challenge. The other challenge was most of the people didn't live in Jerusalem where the temple was. So what were they to do? And then there was the destruction of the temple in 587 along with Jerusalem. And so they had no temple. They had no priesthood. And they were thinking, what are we going to do? How are we going to feel this connection with God? So they longed that one day God would bring about another priest who would bring atonement, oneness with God. And the writer of the Hebrews says that person is Jesus. He is our high priest. That's who Jesus is. So he's the high priest. So prophet, priest, king. David was the great king. Solomon was another great king. But they had their downside. They were fallen creatures. They messed up a number of ways. And then so many of the following kings also were inadequate. And so that was not the solution. In fact, Isaiah, in these passages, the prophet, he gives us these great passages about a future king. A future king. One that's almost indescribable. He says to King Ahaz, with whom he's angry, he said, Ahaz, you don't get it. You're not God's solution. Look, you see this young woman here, this young virgin? She's going to conceive and have a child. And his name's going to be called Emmanuel. Because in this new thing God's doing, God's going to be one with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And then in chapter 9, he said, for us, to us a son is born, unto us a child is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And his reign will be unlike any other. That's the kind of future king that God will bring to us. And then in chapter 11, to be the peaceable kingdom, where the wolf will lie down with the lamb in this new kingdom of God. So when Jesus came, he talked about repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here with me. Seek first the kingdom of God and his reign, the way that Jesus. So Jesus became, in the mind of us Christians, the fulfillment of prophet, priest, and king. And over the top of those three became the word Messiah. Messiah was the anointed one of God. And as a part of that, he's the one who fills prophet, priest, and king. Now, after the temple fell, are you still with me? Say yes, would you? After the temple fell, after the diaspora, the exile, they began to wonder, did God forget about us? Here we are in Babylon. Here we are scattered around the world. We're not hearing a word from God. And so in those years before Christ came, there was this dead, dreadful silence. No prophetic word. No evidence of the king among them. No priest. And then they began to bubble up. Oh, might there be a Messiah who would be the fulfillment of these longings of ours? And there would be a Messiah. There would be Judas Maccabeus. And they thought he may be the Messiah. His rebellion was put down. Then there would be another one put down. Another put down. And then came this person, Jesus. And they thought, oh my gosh, this might be the Messiah. This might be the one we've looked for. Look what he's doing. Look at all these healings. Look at these miracles. This must be the one. He uses kingdom language like he's the king. He speaks with authority like a the prophet. He may be the one. When he said, who do you people say that I am? We think you're the Messiah. And so they had all this excitement that he really was the one. And then came Good Friday. And all their hopes were dashed. Oh my gosh. The same old story over again. We get our hopes placed on this person, and he's not the one. But then came Easter. And then came the most amazing, unusual, never before happening. He rose from the dead. And it was clear then that indeed God had placed his stamp on this person. God had raised him up. God was vindicated. Everything God had promised was coming true. He, Jesus, was, is forever the Messiah, the prophet, the priest, the king. The one we've longed for, the one we've waited for. And so Paul got busy forming churches and talked about that. God was in this person, Jesus, bringing the world together. And then the four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they said, we've got to write this down. We've got to write this down. We've got to make sure people remember and know what happened here. And so John, now listen to this. John picks up on the prophet role. How does John begin his story of the Nativity, the beginning? In the beginning was the Word, the prophetic Word. But it's an unusual prophet, an unusual word. It's not somebody. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, he's the prophet. He's God incarnate. And John did this wonderful thing about the priest and the sacrifice. He remembered John the Baptist looking at Jesus and saying, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the high priest who is also the sacrifice. He's the one in all who did this, not something that has to be repeated every year, but once and forever our sins are in him forgiven. It's amazing. And then Matthew said, I want my fellow countrymen, I want my fellow Jews to know that this is the one who came out of Abraham's loins. And so he begins his gospel where? With the lineage of David beginning with Abraham to show that he is the product of the Hebrew faith. And not only that, but he's the light unto the Gentiles. And so Matthew's the one also who has the three or four or five astrologers from the east coming to kneel down before Jesus, the baby there at the Nativity, because they represent this reality that it's not only the Jewish people who are longing for this connection with God, but all humanity. That's what we all long for, to be at one with God. And there they were. They bowed at the feet of this baby child. Mark is so eager to tell a story of Jesus, he skips over the Nativity. He didn't tell anything about Christmas story. But we go to Luke for the one we really love. And I think Luke's story is so beloved because he gets most of it from Mary. Luke is thinking, I've got to tell this story. I wonder what happened from the very beginning. And he sits down with Mary and says, Mary, tell me everything you can remember. And Mary says, yeah, I was there as this young woman in Nazareth, and an angel named Gabriel came to me and said, you're going to have a child. And this child is going to be the child of God. You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save people from our sins. And I thought, my goodness, could this possibly be true? And I went to see my aunt Elizabeth, and she knew, even before I got there, that that's what this was about. And so she celebrated with me, and I went home, and Joseph and I came to Bethlehem, as the prophet Micah said, and we had this child, and we wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him there in a manger, and we were trying to take it all in, and all of a sudden these shepherds came in, and they had said that they'd seen something like a comet in the sky, this amazing brilliance, and a heavenly host saying, go to Bethlehem, go to the stable, and you'll see this, the Son of God, Emmanuel, the Savior, the Messiah. And they came, and I knew that this child was the fulfillment of the hopes of all my people, the prophet, the priest, the king, the Messiah. A few days later, 8 days later, they took this baby to the temple for the dedication, the circumcision. They brought Jesus there, and there was this old man named Simeon. Speaking of old men, my daughter, when she found out I was having cataract surgery, she said, "Hey, Dad, I thought only really, really, really old people had cataract surgery." I said, "Siobhan, you know, my eyesight was such that I was so eager to be able to see. I don't care how old I may be. I wanted to see." That reminds me of this old man named Simeon. He picked up his baby. And you remember what he said? He said, "God, now I can depart in peace because my eyes have seen right here the salvation of the world." This child has been a light to reflect the glory of Israel and the promise to the Gentiles. This child is the salvation. And so, we get excited every Advent. Sometimes we see in part, but I'm hoping and praying today you might see the full orb, that all of the hopes and all of the anticipations. See, we live after the fact. Just as I live after the fact, or I will next Monday, of my cataract surgery, I can now see. And I'm so glad. Two things about the cataract surgery. Nobody would choose to have it. Nobody rushes off to have it. And you don't even know how foggy your eyes are until after it's done. And in order to get the new lens, you have to give up an old one. You have to give up something old. And so it is with our life with Him. We give up the old way to have the new that comes in Him. Would you pray with me? Almighty and awesome God, I confess that sometimes I've just taken this thing we call Christmas, this thing we call Advent, for granted. But now that I've had this surgery, I can just see. And with a relationship with Jesus, we can see, we can experience the one who is King and empowers us, the one who is prophet who gives us the word, the one who is the priest who takes away all of our sins and makes us one with You. Oh God, may it be so for everyone today. In the name of Christ I pray. Amen. We have the joy of receiving Holy Communion. David's going to lead us in the liturgy. We invite you to, when the bread and the cup come to you, to hold it. You don't have to be a member of this church. You just have to be one who would like to follow Christ. David, lead us, would you?
Mm-hmm. Will you join me now? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in Your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through Your prophets. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You, and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ, whom You sent into the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and have mercy on those who fear You from generation to generation. Your own Son came among us as a servant, to be Emmanuel, Your presence with us. He humbled Himself in obedience to Your will, and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us,
He took the bread and gave thanks, broke the bread, gave thanks, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and blessed it and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we together proclaim now the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here today and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Ushers, will you now come?
body of Christ broken for you. Take and feed on Him.
The blood of Christ shed for you, the cup of our salvation, drink ye now in faith.
Almighty and awesome God, on this first Sunday in Advent, we look to Your coming anew and afresh and unexpected and unimagined ways into our own lives this Christmas season. We welcome You in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you stand and receive the benediction? Take somebody's hand if you would. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.